Chapter 10.
Phineas!
She screamed. Phineas' heart jumped as he emerged from a side room in the great hall, rubbing the ornate tattoos shaved in his head, then wringing his hands. He was medium in build, with a slight hitch in his step, his large eyes probing and evil. He approached with caution.
"Yes, High Priestess,"
he said, bowing. She sat on her throne, shoulders back, chin up, shifting on the tangerine-colored cushion and tapping her perfectly white teeth, an impatient look on her face. On either side of her, two bald-headed men sat cross-legged, muttering incantations under their breath. Phineas felt his heart flutter. She was different, radiant, exotic, evil incarnate. She was the High Priestess of Barnabas, Selene. The acolytes of Barnabas, loyal, dutiful, and deadly, would do anything she asked. Anything she asked at all. But at the moment, their task had escaped them. Phineas knew her wrath would not be contained much longer. She smoothed her dark robes over her chest as she rose from her chair and walked down the steps. Six lizard men with barbed spears stood tall, heads bowed as she passed. Her black dragon tail spilled out from under the hem of her robe and cracked one lizard man across the face, spinning him to the floor.
"Walk with me,"
she said. Phineas shuffled a half step behind, watching her tail disappear under her robes. She led him into the depths of the temple, down a stone staircase, and into a torchlit room. The lizard men and acolytes kneeled down. 2 8-foot-tall lizard men stood guard at a tall, heavy iron door. He had little desire to go in there, but he had no choice in the matter. On the bright side, it wasn't a torture chamber, but what lay within was far deadlier.
"Open it,"
she ordered. Her voice was commanding and persuasive, a rushing river with the power of a waterfall. He'd seen her speak and crack stone walls. He loved it and feared it. But he wanted such power for himself as well. Of course he wanted her just as much. After all, she was the High Priestess, as pretty and evil as they come. He unhitched the ring of keys from his belt and unlocked the door. One lizard man slid the bar from the door, while the other pushed it open before stepping out of the way. Selene took the lead, the cool draft billowing the dark hair along her face. Phineas fell in step behind her as the door was closed after them. Selene snapped her fingers, and a row of smokeless torches flared to life. They had an orange hue and only lit one side of the tunnel that seemed too long to be underground.
"Phineas,"
she said, slowing her pace.
"How many dragons have we captured this season?"
His mouth became dry as an empty well.
"She knows this already, but I must squirm anyway."
She always asked questions, probing for failure, searching for a reason to pounce. He cleared his throat.
11.
"Ah, I see. And how many did we acquire last season?"
20.
He felt himself shrink when she stopped, turned, and looked down in his eyes. He scratched a dry patch of skin on his hand and swallowed hard. She folded her elegant arms across her chest.
So we have caught fewer dragons this season than the last. Yet we have more resources at our disposal than ever before."
Her voice rose up to a higher volume. Her pleasant expression faded.
"How could that be, Phineas?"
Phineas could hear his heart thumping in his ears now. He knew why. She knew why. So why did she have to ask? Even worse, why did he have to answer? He remembered the last acolyte who failed to answer a similar question before. He'd been brought into this tunnel with the priestess and never emerged. Phineas was that cleric's replacement.
I don't know.
He wanted to say that. The truth was he couldn't actually say for sure, but that is what the last cleric had said. He looked her in the eye.
Nath Dragon.
Celine's perfect lips curled, and her nostrils flared. She was getting taller now. He was certain of it as he watched her face contort in the orange light. It was dragon-like. Mysterious. Then gone.
Nath Dragon, indeed,
she said, putting her arm over his shoulder and leading him down the corridor, where another large door waited.
Come.
This lone door was as tall as the last, a black slab of stone, no keyholes, locks, or bars, just a smooth surface. Butterflies fluttered in his stomach, and sweat beaded his forehead.
Always something different and dangerous every time.
He drew little reassurance from her arm around his shoulder, despite how thrilling it was to have her touch him.
She can't be killing me. She just can't be. She needs me, doesn't she?
She stepped in front of him, raised her arms up, and loudly proclaimed a series of mystic words. It was in a language even he didn't comprehend, and all his attempts to pronounce it himself met with failure. The black door shimmered and wavered. Celine reached out for his hand, smiling. He was trembling when he took it, and she pushed him in.